No Shirt, No Shoes, No Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Medicare podcast Meatloaf sang about in 2 out of 3 Ain't Bad. Like Pow Wow the Indian Boy, he loves all the animals and the woods. Medicare expert Doug Jones.
It's Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. How'd you like that Italian accent, huh? It is episode number 67 coming your way. I think I promised Randy I would never read the episode numbers again because we get confused. But in any event, thank you very much for joining us. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And thank you, Drew McMillan. As you heard Drew say, I am Doug Jones, your Medicare expert for this week. I'm going to be your expert for the whole week. Lucky, lucky you. And instead of me irritating my sister Susan by defining the lazy man that we're podcasting to and defining the reason that we're here, I'm going to ask Randy if he won't play our 30-second radio spot. Hey, Randy, can you play that radio spot for the audience? Let's go.
Medicare is complicated. Medicare can be confusing. Medicare is no fun to study. Will you know what decisions to make when Medicare time arrives for you? My name is Doug Jones, and I wrote a book to help you figure it all out. Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020. It's on sale at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Also, you can download and listen to my podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man, wherever fine podcasts are given away free of charge. Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever.
Thank you very much, Randy. Anyway, welcome, 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 and good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. There's, you know, obviously a lot of things going on in our neighborhood, just like Mr. Rogers used to say, but let's go ahead and just say it's a wonderful day in the neighborhood.
Yeah, well, there are a few fewer businesses open today, and there are a few fewer freedoms that we have in Arizona here, but I don't think it's as bad here as it is in some other places. So I'll take it. I will take it.
Yeah, I will too. We obviously we're on a lockdown, not only from a standpoint of the COVID going to kill us off. Now we're on a, I don't know whether you call it, what is it? Lockdown.
Well, it's supposed to be a curfew. And then I saw the list of activities that are legitimate curfew breakers. In other words, you can't get in trouble for performing or for going out and to do these various things. And I couldn't think of anything that I would go out to do other than things on this list. So I'm not even sure there's much of a curfew going on. I'm very glad that we have a Republican governor because Democrats are the ones that are famous for locking people down and taking away their freedoms. Republicans fight that urge more than Democrats do. So our Republican governor has issued a curfew where everybody's got to be home by 8 o'clock. I don't know if you have to be in your jammies and have your teeth brushed by 8 o'clock, but then this morning I saw the list of things you could do, and it involved going to church, going to a store, going to socialize, going out for dinner. I didn't see any activities on the list of things that are permissible that I would do, so or wouldn't do.
I'm really anxious to know, did you see one on there that says, go to Doug's house to have a beer?
No, but if it ever shows up on the list of permissible activities, I will be calling you and several other people and saying, we've got to do this. The governor says so.
Governor said, this is it. You got to do it. It's legal. I'll be right there, Doug.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure most of the Maricopa County Sheriff's Department thought that was going to happen because they were generally gathered right at the street outside of our entrance here to our little neighborhood. And turns out they were gathered there to keep me from going home if I ever ventured out. And so rather than venturing out, I just made a U-turn and went right back home and said, all right, screw you.
So you are a well-known rabble-rouser?
Apparently. I didn't realize it. I mean, with a name like Jones, I'm used to not being well-known at all. But in this case, there was quite a gathering. So either they think I'm about ready to go looting or I'm about ready to open my house for free beer to be dispensed. All the time. I don't know.
You know, if you're going to go looting, Doug, you're going to need a little more storage space than that vet you've got.
Well, you're absolutely right. I couldn't even get a big screen TV home in that thing. So I'm going to have to rent a pod and have it dropped on the driveway.
So I can envision now your Corvette with a U-Haul behind it.
Well, people have done that. When I first met the group of people driving 63 to 67 Corvettes back in 2008, we did Route 66 with a bunch of people we had never met before. I think there were 14 cars. A couple of them had trailers. These were people who wanted to pack everything in case the worst happened. And frankly, the most use we got out of the contents of a trailer drawn by an old 63 to 67 Corvette was wine and cheese. It was in New Mexico, and somebody said, well, you know, I've been hauling this stuff around long enough, you know, belly up to the trailer, boys.
He dropped the end gate, and there you go.
Yeah, well, these were smaller trailers. They were motorcycle trailers, so they basically popped the top, and we all bent over and marveled at the contents.
There's something about that picture in my mind, Doug, that just makes me shake my head. That's just wrong, hauling anything in a trailer with a Corvette.
One by one, these trailer haulers realized that they didn't really need all that stuff, and they took their trailer hitches off the cars and stuff. And frankly, the group pictures are a lot more picturesque without the trailers attached to the cars.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, in any way, shape, or form saying this is a bad idea, but, you know, you could put not only that, you could put a trailer on it if you didn't happen to have a convertible. They could put the luggage rack on top. I mean, there's a number of things they could do to really honk up the beauty of a Corvette.
Well, one of the reasons Corvettes became popular was the TV show Route 66. Now, I watched maybe 150 episodes of that show, and I never saw one episode that took place anywhere near the actual Route 66. They were on the East Coast, they were in Florida, they were on the Gulf Coast. I never saw them near Route 66, but they always had a luggage rack. It was a factory option or a dealer option, and it was put on the back of the cars starting in 53 and going up to 69, I want to say, maybe 70, early 70s. And it was a rack that you could tie your luggage to. And so those did exist, and they didn't look bad. They just weren't that common.
I was envisioning the ones you strap to the roof.
No, I don't have those. And one of the reasons is a lot of them are convertibles. Not all of them are, but many are convertibles. And so that roof is going to cave in and hit you in the head while you're driving if it's full of luggage.
I got it.
Getting down to business here, because my wife is always telling me, you know, you goof around so much. What the heck? I'm surprised you have an audience. And I show her the stats and she goes, yeah, somebody's lying to you. So anyway, I thought I would address our hanging chads from prior episodes. I have three listed here. There may be more, but we are remiss in having tonsil stories that we haven't told anybody. You mentioned ASMR as an up-and-coming brainiac kind of thing, which you'll have to explain to us, or a running out of gas story. I remember you said that your crack staff always fills the tank anytime there's a molecule of gas being used up. Let's completely fill it to the top again. So I don't know which of these hanging chads we want to address, if any.
I think let's start with the tonsil stories.
Alrighty.
And then I think the logical next would be the running out of gas, and we'll bring it all home with the ASMR.
Okay, so is that going to be our whole episode today, or should we talk any Medicare?
I think we could probably go to some mailbag.
Oh, good. Well, I always like that. Alrighty. Well, I'll tell you what. You start with the tonsil story. You said you had a tonsil story.
I do. So I don't know where I left off, but my tonsil story is related to the fact that my parents lied to me dramatically to get me into the next city at my uncle and aunt's house.
Okay, now we've heard that story.
Okay, well, the tonsil story that I think I'm that left as a hanging chad was related to my mom. I was grousing and moaning because my tonsils were hurting, and then I went to the hospital, and they gave me the old ice cream story. We'll give you as much ice cream as you can possibly hold. But what they don't tell you is that sound, that feels much like swallowing shards of glass.
Yep.
So that, I think, is where I left off. And my mom used to counter that whole grousing story with, when she was a girl, she went into just a local doctor's office. And I think, I don't know how old she was, but she said they had her hold some sort of an electrical bar. You know, like it would knock the sense out of you when you were holding it. And they clipped her tonsils out while she was, you know, awake, sitting in a chair, holding on to this electrical bar. Ouch. And I go, well, yeah, your experience was probably a little bit worse than mine. And then I ended it up with, but did they give you any ice cream? And she looked at me and said, you just need to forget that whole story.
Really?
Yeah.
Did that bar do something to her, or?
It may have. I think she suffered from PTSD the rest of her life anytime anybody got close to her tonsil area.
Jeez. Well, that would include your father, I assume.
Yeah.
In their early relationship.
Yeah, I'm telling you that she has some just awful stories about medical procedures in the local GP's office.
Well, were the GPs and the dentists in your town closely related? Because I understand that you're descended from a long line of dentists. And
they were also barbers.
Oh, boy. Well, I'll tell you my tonsil story very quickly. I was basically like you. I was dragged from one place to another. And my grandparents lived in a very... at the top of the Edgewater Beach Hotel in the early 50s in Illinois. There were two penthouses up there. One was my grandparents. They rented it. The other was rented by the mayor of Chicago. And so my grandparents always had armed security when they went up and down the elevator. And the same for me or anybody else that came to visit. So it was always kind of fun, and they were on a beach. I mean, it was Lake Michigan, and they never took me there in the winter, so I just assumed it was like that all year around. And so then one day I was told, and I don't remember the day, but I kind of vaguely remember that it happened more than once. I was told that, hey, we're going to go to the doctor today. Okay. The worst thing about being there was that they made me dress in a monkey suit everywhere I went. I had to be all duded up like an insurance salesman, so I guess my eventual career, that's why things turned out for me the way they did.
You were dressed up like a little miniature insurance dude?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, do you have any pictures of that?
So anyway, now I told you about the machine, the viewing machine in the shoe store in Geneva, Illinois, wherein a mother would buy the kid shoes. The shoe store guy would say, all right, here's the proper size for the kid, and I'll prove it to you. Get up on this machine, kid. Stick your feet in those two slots. Then the mother had a viewing thing. It was like binoculars, and she could see the x-ray of the kid's bones to prove that was the right size shoes, and the kid's feet were not constricted by buying shoes that were too small.
Oh, my gosh.
All of us glowed in the dark back in the 50s, and that's the way it was. So I remember going to a doctor's office on the North Shore of Chicago, where the cutting edge of medical technology in Illinois was. What I didn't remember, and I had to be reminded years later, was that this guy had a working theory, apparently felt just fine about trying it out on any kid that was brought into his office, which was that you could avoid having a tonsillectomy with a kid if you shot his throat full of radiation. And so that's what happened to me. It was shot full of radiation. And I have to say, this guy must have been a genius because it worked like a charm.
However, what were the side effects?
Well, I'm getting to that.
Okay, all right. This is a good story. This is a great story, Doug.
I told you that my tonsil story wouldn't involve actual tonsils. I never had a tonsillectomy. I never had tonsillitis. I never had any adenoid problems, so I can't tell you what they do. I would have asked if they had wanted to yank them out, but I just don't know anything about adenoids. And everybody I knew was having their tonsils out left and right, but not me. And I attribute it to that genius medical doctor from the North Shore, north suburbs of Chicago, who shot my throat full of radiation and allowed me to avoid the horrible agonies of tonsillectomy. Now, flash forward to about 2005. And I'm not one to hang around doctor's offices, but I had to have a blood test, a complete blood count. And so the results go to the doctor's office. They call me up and they said, hey, your thyroid quit working.
No kidding.
Really? And I said, I can't imagine why that would be. And they said, well, come on in and we'll have an endocrinologist, take a look at you. And so this guy was squeezing my thyroid and he said, well, half of it is swollen. The other half feels fine. So I think we should surgically remove the swollen half of your thyroid, and then maybe the other half will start working again. So I underwent surgery. And I'm not a guy that's ever, I don't know that I had ever spent a night in a hospital before, but I met this surgeon. He happened to go to a boys' college that was 15 miles away from the co-ed college that I went to for my first year in college. And those guys always hated us because we had all the girls and they didn't have any on their campus. But we got past that. And so I woke up on the table, and when I was able to understand, somebody told me, and I don't know if it was our doctor, I mean my endocrinologist or the surgeon or whatever, but the story was that they got in there, took a look at that thyroid and said, you know something, as long as we're here, maybe we should just take the whole thing out. So there was the swollen half and the normal looking half. They just yanked the whole thing out and sent it off to the lab. Well, as it turns out, the half that they were planning to leave inside me had cancer in it. And the half that they were going to take out anyway was non-cancerous. So the cool part was that this cancer was so tiny that it was smaller than the rule that they use for giving chemo and therapy. He said, you don't need to do anything else. We've taken all the dangerous stuff out and no further treatment is required. So I've been taking Synthroid ever since. However, it just galls me that whole thing could have been avoided. And my thyroid was murdered by this guy back in the 1950s who was experimenting with a way to avoid tonsillitis. So that's my tonsil story.
And related to that, I'm just envisioning that as you were on the operating table, they wondered why your feet glowed.
Well, they may have, but they didn't wake me up to ask me about it.
Why are your feet glowing green?
Why is it we can see your bones through your skin?
But we are so damn glad your feet aren't restricted in those shoes.
You know something, you're just a few years younger than me. You had absolutely no knowledge of that thing.
And no, I never heard of such a thing.
I thought they were everywhere. So I believe the company that made those things broke up when they realized it might be a problem and headed for the hills. All the executives changed their names and never to be seen or heard from again.
Oh my gosh. You think I was teasing when I said, no, I never heard of such a thing, but there was never such a thing that I ever got close to.
We always thought it was fun. Hey, let's go look at our bones and our feet.
The only thing I ever had when somebody was trying to fit me with a pair of shoes was they stick them on there and then poke them down with their thumb until your toe was smashed to the bottom. And then they say, oh, you got plenty of room. And you wouldn't grow into it till like 4 years later.
I hated that. Are there people sneaking up demanding mailbag items?
Well, we are going to get to the mailbag.
I think we should probably start heading in that direction because I took my leather glove that I normally use for my eagle hunting, my hawk hunting. I put it on my arm and I reached into the mailbag. And frankly, I think I was successful in cleaning out all those life forms that used to nibble on me down at the bottom of the bag.
I think I mentioned this once before, and for the audience, it's a great movie to watch if you love just absolute belly laughs. It's called Start the Revolution Without Me.
You did mention it before, and I am sorry to say I have not yet watched it, but keep reminding me, and
it's all about falconry.
Oh, falconry. Excellent. Excellent. Well, that's why they have the big gloves, I guess, huh? So the falcons don't crush their arms or poke them full of holes.
That's right. And we'll leave that as another hanging chad. But yeah, Uh-oh. My gosh, the crickets are here.
The crickets. We've irritated the crickets.
The crickets are here. My God, what has happened? Let me calm the crickets, people.
How does one go about calming a cricket? You're singing a little cricket lullaby, or
I have a cricket button that they pay attention to, because it's kind of like the feet X-ray. It zaps them with atomic energy, and then they quiet down for a while.
Well, they come back louder and stronger than ever, I guess, huh?
Yes, they do. So we've got plenty of time. It's like the seventh inning stretch. So let's do some mailbag.
All righty. Well, I'm trying to go from oldest to newest, because the older mailbag items have been down at the bottom of the bag for a long time, and they're kind of smelly and kind of green around the edges and maybe a little limp. And so I'm trying to get rid of the worst ones. So I haven't seen these in a long time. If I stumble and hem and haw, it's because it's all new to me, just like it'll be new to you when you hear it. This particular mailbag item is from somebody whose address is RS50. Well, I don't know if I should give out addresses, but their email address is Yahoo. And it says, "Hi, I would appreciate your help in setting up my Medicare. I turned 65 last month and still working with insurance. I plan on working till at least 66, but would like to set up Medicare before the end of the year to take advantage of the high deductible plan F before it disappears." And so here's my response. This is in August of 2019. At 7:12 in the morning. Holy crap, what was I doing up at 7:12 in the morning? Anyway, I said, "Here is the good news. Because you have already turned 65, high deductible plan F will always be available to you from any company that chooses to sell it. I would enroll in Part A of Medicare right now and consult your employer's benefits person to learn whether you need Part B before reaching your retirement date. As you get closer to retirement next year, you can apply for high deductible plan F to start on the first of the month in which your group insurance ends." And I said, "Thank you for getting in touch with me." Now, the one thing I didn't ask, and I got caught short by somebody else in this situation, I should have asked what their medical plan was, because apparently a lot more people that I'm aware of have health savings accounts. They put deductible contributions into a bank account associated with a health savings account. And if they get any part of Medicare, the deductibility of their health savings account deposits is verboten. It's removed. The IRS does not allow them to deduct future contributions. So that's something for you HSA participants to keep in mind. So then on August 20th, this is like the next day, different person wrote in. "Hi, Doug. Thanks for writing a great, easy to understand book and setting up this awesome site." That's our site, MedicareForTheLazyMan.com, that Randy and his crack staff put together. "I dreamt it. They built it. It was wonderful. I am not an average good health case, and I would like some advice. I'm a retired teacher who turns 65, 3 to 55. Okay, unless they've got a time machine, they actually made a mistake here. So their 65th birthday comes on March 2nd of 2020. "Last winter, I was diagnosed with a severely aggressive prostate. So far, the surgery was successful, but the odds favor a return of the cancer within 5 years. I also have a knee replacement coming soon. I assume it's really important to make the right decision on supplemental insurance the first time, as my options will become limited after that." Right on, sir. Right on the money. "Would like to include dental, hearing aids, stuff, and gym membership, but choice of doctors, good coverage, and coverage while traveling trumps all. So far, I only have one prescription, but that could change big time. I live in New York. Any of your typical, clear, common sense advice that made your book so great would be greatly appreciated." And this gentleman's name is Steve. All right, so I said, "Thanks for writing, Steve, and thanks for the kind words about my book. Sorry to hear about your prostate problem, but we'll keep my fingers crossed that your recovery will be a long and pleasant one. Additionally, my wife just underwent a complete knee replacement, so I understand the consequences of that as well. My advice, lay in mass quantities of ice for the cold water circulation pump. Now, in accordance with your stated objectives, I have no better recommendation than to begin early December with notification to the Social Security Administration that you want to enroll in Medicare Parts A and B. They will send you a Medicare ID card showing the start dates of March 1st, 2020. Upon receipt of that card, you should have plenty of time to apply to an insurance company for the next layer of coverage. Considering your stated priorities, the best answer is a comprehensive Medicare supplement. The most comprehensive plan available to you is Plan G. And that's because he was born in 1955 or later. No more Plan F for youngsters of his age bracket. So Plan G will cover everything except the Part B annual deductible. And in this year, that's $198. There will also be a brand new high deductible Plan G that should have a sharply reduced monthly premium. But I cannot speak authoritatively about that yet. What I do know is that the best way for you to select a cost-effective drug plan is still to follow the steps outlined in the book. Good news, I know of at least two Medicare supplement carriers that will offer, or that will often include Silver Sneakers as a no-cost benefit. He said he wanted a gym membership if he could have one. These are Humana and Aetna, so ask them about that before you buy. Bad news, this plan will not include any sort of dental or hearing benefits. A competent insurance broker should be able to help set you up with an individual plan to cover this, but I predict you will not like the monthly cost. Hope this has been helpful, Steve. Please let me know if there's anything else I can do. And then I can't ever stop myself from doing this. P.S. Nothing warms the heart of an author more than seeing a positive customer review of the book on Amazon.com. So I don't know if he did it or not, because a lot of people have pseudonyms when they do customer reviews on Amazon. But I'd like to think that Steve did, and that he is here. We are 9 months later. I'd like to think that he's healthy, happy, and enjoying retirement after turning 65 and ending his teaching career. I mean, obviously, they sent him home in February, but I don't know if he intends to go back or not, but I'd like to think that things are working out okay for Steve. Thank you again for writing, Steve, if you're listening to us. So what are we doing time-wise? Are we okay? Or, I mean, I have plenty more mailbag items. Two mailbag items doesn't seem like enough for our ravenous audience of mailbag enthusiasts. Do we have time for any more today, Randy?
I wish we did. However, such is not the case.
Well, all right. Maybe another time. Maybe sometime in the future.
Yeah. I think right now we need to land the plane. And as we always say, thank you for joining us. We love having you. And without you, it wouldn't be nearly as much fun, or no fun at all.
Go to Amazon. Go to barnesandnoble.com. Buy the book, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020. You can get it in Audible, ebook, or in paperback form. Paperback makes excellent gifts for all the children of all ages that might be living in your household. It's never too early to shop for holidays.
Yes, and those that like audios, you know, you could buy a whole bunch of our audiobooks and pass them out for Christmas, along with maybe, you know, something to play them with.
Well, there you go. That's excellent gift ideas. I'm always at a loss for what to do for the youngsters in the family, and giving them information about Medicare. It's always a wonderful choice, I think.
I can envision this, you know, your grandkids looking at their present going, what, you know, Grandpa, what is this?
He's finally cracked.
Oh, dear.
All well, right. Thank you for your engineering prowess today.
Yeah, I was having trouble with all the knobs and buttons, but I think we finally got it back together.
Well, we'll let the audience be the judge as to whether or not you did it successfully. I bet you did, though.
There you go. Well, anyway, thanks, everybody, for joining us. And we will catch you next time. And if you were an 18-wheeler or you know, as old as I am, they'd say, catch you on the flip-flop. But that is a way, way old expression. And we will see you later. You have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, owner of Medicare for the LazyMan.com.
Bye-bye.